Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're listening to Spinning a Line, the Rallycast from Darkfish.
Spinning the Line.
Spinning the Line, a rally.
It's Dirtfish that we work for, Colin.
Yeah. You are listening to Spinning a Line, the Rally Pod from Dirtfish.
Spinning the Line.
You're listening to Spinning the Line, the Rally Cast from Dirtfish.
The Rally Pod.
You're listening to Spinning the Line, the Rally Pod by Dirtfish.
What a pro.
Right, we're
good to me.
Or do you want to write down the name of the podcast, David, so we don't get
it
wrong?
Oh, God.
Just write it down.
Right. And what did we call it?
It is Spinning
what
a Line.
What did you call it?
Spinning
try
a Line.
Again?
Spinning a Line, the Rally Pod by Dirtfish.
Is it Spinning a Line, Colin, or is it Spinning the Line?
No, David confused me
That's
with
what
that,
you struggled with yesterday, didn't you?
Only because David confused me.
Right.
Spinning a Line, the Rally Pod by
Dirtfish.
By Dirtfish.
You were going to say dirt cast, weren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I was. God. Yeah. Right, okay. Good. At least we're ready and we're recording.
Hello and welcome to a brand new podcast. You found us and downloaded us, so you probably know we're going to be talking all things rally, and hopefully we'll have everything you need right here. And if we don't, just get in touch and we'll have it for you next time. I'm Lisa O'Sullivan. My job is to keep the real motor mouths in check, because we have three rally experts taking control of this podcast. And you can hear breathing in the background, Colin Clark.
Oh, sorry, Lisa. Yeah, that's your job, is to keep us in control. I will stop breathing, yeah. My name
Promise.
Is Colin.
Can we have that in writing?
That's David Evans that you're hearing there. My name's Colin Clark. I've worked with Lisa for a number of years on Rally Radio. She is the queen of the podcast. I am the motor mouth, the gob of rally. And joining us, as I said, David Evans with me. David, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm David Evans.
Is that it?
Well, you told me to be short and sweet.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I can't be sweet, but I can be short.
Right. Well, that's David Evans. If you want to know who David Evans is, just Google him.
Sorry. Yeah, that's a good point. Sorry, that was a bit disrespectful. I am the senior staff writer at dirtfish.com and, like Colin, absolutely in love with all things rallying.
And George Donaldson. George, good day. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Just to let everyone understand that I am the whipping boy of everyone present at the current podcast. However, I do have a little bit of experience in rally, and that goes back a lot further than anyone else here present. So if anybody needs to verify some old facts or just laugh at old people, I'm the man.
Well, I'm not sure how to follow that.
As you can probably have worked out, we are all in different parts of the UK at the moment, but we're probably going to be in different parts of the world as the podcast series progresses. And so extraneous background noises will be explained as and when they are necessary. But I think we should just crack straight on with this, guys, because we've had two events already in the WRC calendar this year, and it was, as always, we get to the beginning of a new season, expectation, no Citroen, worrying about whether it was going to be exciting and competitive enough. Two events in, are we excited?
Wow. Well, I think we are, Lisa, and I think we've got every right to be excited, because they've been two tremendous events. Monte Carlo, that kicked off the year, was a little surprising in some ways for some people. You know, Thierry Neuville won his first Monte Carlo rally, and he won it in some style, I'd have to say. David, you want to say something?
Yeah, I do, because he didn't win it. Alvin Evans lost it.
Oh, well, that was the point I was going to come on to. You know, the biggest surprise, perhaps, of Monte Carlo was quite clearly Elvin Evans for a lot of people out there. Yes, he was in the Toyota. We know how good the Toyota is. But Elvin Evans in your third place on the podium led the rally until the final day, David. It was a tremendous performance, and it was a real boost if we needed one at the start of the year.
Absolutely, it was. And you know, that was a little bit blasé then to say that Thierry didn't win it. Of course he did. And he drove magnificently through Sunday. And actually, Sunday was the only day that Elvin didn't drive absolutely brilliantly. And by his own admission, he just tried that little bit too hard. He overdrove the car, you know, too much entry speed. And the seconds just all slipped away, didn't they? And even in the power stage in Monte, when he came out of that power stage, he knew he'd overworked the car, he'd pushed too hard, and it was a kind of classic mistake to make. And I'm sure, you know, George, you'd know sort of better than any of us. You've seen that hundreds of times where drivers have just, you know, sometimes it happens, doesn't it, when a driver makes a mistake and then tries to go even harder to make that time back.
It's one of those psychological sort of dead ends that a driver can hit, David. You're absolutely correct. Lack of experience, you'd say, at that in that particular scenario, especially in a Monte Carlo rally, where you never punish a driver for a mistake in Monte Carlo rally as a team manager. The rally does it for you because you don't get a second chance. Sebastian Loeb, point in case, the rally punished him. Unfortunately, his team manager decided to also punish him afterwards, which I have to say I thoroughly disapprove of.
Ooh.
There you go.
I'm not sure. There are various stories doing the rounds about that, George, whether it was Loeb who said he didn't want to do it or Adamo said...
Hang on a sec, I'm just going to interrupt you here because I have been away from the sport for a couple of years. I meant to explain that at the beginning. So I'm coming here with listeners' eyes, and I followed the Monte Carlo rally, but I didn't necessarily follow it in detail. So don't assume too much knowledge on my part.
Yeah, okay, Elise. Well, Loeb looked okay for the first 3 days of the rally. And at times, you know, there were glimpses of vintage Loeb, of the Loeb that has won that rally. How many times, David?
Six or seven times.
Seven times, I think he's won it. We saw glimpses of it. But then there was a little bit too much of a Loeb that we don't know, that we didn't expect to see, that we're not used to seeing, particularly on the final day. He was quite literally miles off the pace, with no explanation. And he seemed to lose confidence in the car. I doubt whether he lost confidence in his own ability. But as I say, you know, following that, and it was literally the day after, it was on the Monday, Adamo announced that obviously Loeb would sit out Rally Sweden and Craig Breen would take his place. There has been debate as to whether that was a Loeb decision or an Adamo decision. David, do you know much more about that?
All I would say is that, you know, we saw Loeb come to Sweden, was it last year?
Yeah.
You know, and Loeb has always said that Sweden was an event that he really wanted to win. He won it in, I think, 2004, from memory. But that was a win that he wasn't really satisfied with. Because if you remember, in that year, Marco had had a problem and there'd been a few problems with other cars. And he kind of looked into that one. So Sweden and a winter rally was something that Loeb always wanted to do. He didn't really get there last year, and I think he kind of understood that actually that moment now has passed, that he could win Sweden, because the speed and everything has gone up so high now that you need to be in the cars all the time. And it's a difficult one, because if he'd gone to Sweden, he was going there to do a job for the team. He was in the third car. He hadn't got that opportunity to achieve that ambition of winning. So I think probably Loeb actually had a good bit of input into the decision. And you know, I think it's quite right that he wasn't himself in Monte. But I think the trouble is now, the expectation is, we all remember him when he was so dominant. He is not that person anymore. He's just not.
He's not at that same place in his life, is he anymore? Let's face it. He's not competing for titles. He hasn't got the need to prove himself.
So, you know, what we saw from Loeb in Monte, maybe that is Loeb, you know, 2020 spec Sebastian Loeb. And we have to accept that. And he's, for sure, as a third driver, he's great. It's just that it's diminishing our memories of this incredible nine-time champion. But it shouldn't. You know, we should just celebrate the fact that he's still there.
We get to see him still. Yeah, George, what do you make of all that then? I mean, in terms of Loeb's ability and perhaps just the, you know, the edge being taken off of his ability to push that final tenth that's needed for wins.
You're absolutely right. It's just that ability. But what gives you that ability? It's the currency. It's the practice. It's the testing. It's the diligence. It's the hard work for which Seb Loeb was legendary for. You know, the man was tireless in a test car, and he was, his ability to push in a test car to the right place was matched, you know, I mean, up at you know, Tommy Mäkinen levels and beyond. So the guy, my point being is that the man is a god. He's a rally god. And for anybody, you can say what you want about
Don't
him, you know, diminishing his his legacy. Far from it. His legacy is completely safe. The fact is that he's just doing a nice job and having a nice time, probably being paid quite. Let's be honest, being paid quite a lot of money to do it. I imagine he's not doing it for fun. He's doing it for interest and enjoyment and for a deal of money, and that's fair enough. He's earned that right.
I'd just like to say it wasn't me sniggering, Lise. It was him.
And I didn't snigger. I didn't snigger, Lise. And by the way, when you listen back to this recording, Lisa, you'll notice things have changed. I may have had the setting slightly wrong at the start. And to our listeners, I apologise for that.
He's fiddling
with
things.
There are two symbols on my mic that look remarkably similar and are easily confused by idiots like me. Sorry, guys. I was watching the waveform today, Lisa, which I wasn't doing when we had our rehearsal. And I noticed my waveform wasn't as strong as David's, which is not right. I should have a stronger wave than David's.
I had noticed the difference, Colin, but I assumed that you'd touched David by mistake and he'd given you a vasectomy.
That's the danger.
I think we've got to just front up here, and I've got to be completely honest and say that actually yesterday wasn't really supposed to be a rehearsal.
Nobody knows about yesterday, David.
Just it'll come out.
It was a cock-up.
All right, somebody forgot to, or somebody accidentally turned the mic off.
Yeah,
and
that
may or may not have been me.
Oh.
So sorry about that.
Oh, sorry, I'm touching wires again. But let's just, George, one more point about this Loeb legacy, this Loeb situation. You know, David there was saying that, or it was yourself, was saying that, you know, he's back, he's having a good time, we should just enjoy it. That is so un-Adamo-like. Adamo doesn't tolerate that. It's not he's not in the service park. He is not the boss of Hyundai to give former world champions just a nice little run out. He is there to win championships. And he's proved how ruthless he is. I will be surprised if Loeb is in that vein of form where he is just putting around at the back, enjoying himself, maybe taking the check at the end of the rally. I'd be surprised if Adamo puts up with that. I think there's a chance that, you know, we'll see Loeb clearly on the tarmac grounds, but is there a chance we might see him being benched again? I think there has to be.
There has to be a possibility, without a doubt, but you've got to give people two or three events to get up to speed. The speed can come back. It's quite how much bravery can come back in the final push and shove. But that level of experience, let's not forget that man has, you know, led from the front of a lot of gravel events where he should never have won, and he frequently did, rather like Seb Ogier has managed, you know. So these guys, rallying is all about experience, you know, even though we've got young guys coming into the sport, it's still ultimately about experience. You know, Elfyn Evans done lots of WRC events, but he, in one way or another, he blew his Monte Carlo opportunity just by not quite understanding what he had to do on the last day and how hard somebody would push and what he needed to do. He won't make that mistake again. He's learned. It's fabulous. But
and George, the biggest demonstration, the biggest demonstration and example of that over the past perhaps 10 or 15 years, David, George, was Rally Spain, where Loeb won it. It was the most remarkable decision he made on that final day, where the rain was pelting down while they were just about sitting in the service park. And he went on the hard compound tyres because, A, he knew, we trusted his weather forecast, but he knew how well those hard compounds would work in drying conditions. They didn't have to be completely dry. And that, for me, was 100% down to experience and knowledge and ability.
It absolutely, you're not wrong there, Colin, at all. But I just wonder now how many events this year can Loeb bring that experience?
Not many.
You know, because we would naturally look at Corsica. It's not there. You'd naturally look at Germany.
It's a different event.
It's in October.
It's a different event.
And, you know,
and there's no Spain.
No, and there's no Spain. So, yeah, but equally, we have to balance all of that Adamo desire to constantly achieve and score points and everything. You have to balance that with the fact that Loeb brings a huge amount of exposure and entertainment.
Now, that's not enough. That is not enough. No, that is not enough for Adamo. I really don't think it is. I think Adamo really isn't bothered by that. He is a very focused, single-minded character. And all he is interested in is that third driver contributing, when needed, those manufacturer points.
I think he has to be very cautious that he doesn't try to get too much out of his third driver and get nothing out of them. He's got three guys to choose from. He's going to choose them all. Great idea, great concept. But we've just discussed match fitness. And he's denying all of those drivers match fitness. You know, three events in a row. Let's try that one.
I'm going to need to move you on because we've spoken a lot about Sebastian Loeb here. But Monte Carlo in general, let's kind of sum up who won it or who lost it.
For me, you know, Thierry did a great job. But I still believe that that rally on Saturday night was Elvin's to win. And Elvin for sure is kicking himself. You know, he didn't just lose the rally, he lost second. But ultimately, it was a great event. Great start to the season. And then we got to Sweden.
Mm. Yep.
So, Cole, that sounds really,
to jump in there.
That sounds really unfair because actually, you know, I think we all feared what waited for us in Torsby. And first and foremost, we have to say to Glenn Olsen and his team and all of the stakeholders, you know, they really rolled the dice with this event in terms of the weather and the fact that there was no snow and no ice. And we just about got away with it. There was a big freeze on the Thursday night into Friday. That sort of saved us. Mm. And, you know, by Sunday, the rain was coming down. It was 6, 7, 8 degrees. Mm. And it was, you know, it was a miserable
Welsh
TV,
afternoon, wasn't it? Yeah. In the Welsh forest. George, listen, you've done Rally Sweden. You've competed there yourself, I think, a couple of times, haven't you, George?
Yes, six times I've driven it.
Six times?
And 1988 was the last one I did. It was very wet. There was a lot of snow, but it was a horribly wet event. 1989, there was no snow. Exactly the same as this year, in 1989.
So there was no global warming in 89.
Honestly speaking, I'm not a climate conspirator. We know so little about it. So the reality is 1989 was very, very similar to this year. Very similar to this year.
Well, the point I want to make, George, is that we shouldn't be taking or making any knee-jerk reactions to one season. Okay, you could point to perhaps deteriorating conditions over the last 2 or 3 or 4 years. But what is the solution? The solution clearly seems to be, the preferred solution seems to be to stay in Sweden. The FIA have said we will not tolerate a snowless snow rally because, you know, a point I made was that Glenn Olsen said we don't need snow to make this rally work. He was proven right. But what they need is they need snow to keep their place on the calendar. There's no
who
question about that.
Who forgot to switch their phone off?
Yeah, who was that? It wasn't me and it wasn't David. Must be George. So, George, what is the solution, George? Do we go further north? You know that area well.
There's not a lot further north, but you don't have to go very much. As soon as you head north out of Torsby, you're going up in altitude. 60 miles north of Torsby, there's always snow. Even on the years where we've seen no snow whatsoever, there's always been a massive amount of snow available. The problem is accommodation. There's basically very few towns.
Well, I think what they're going to have to do is perhaps reintroduce, just for that one event, they have to reintroduce. David Evans, is that you? Are you playing with your telephone?
No.
What is that I can hear? Anyway, it's something I can hear. It's a dog or something going off. It's not my dog, but it does sound awfully loud.
That's mine.
Oh, nice one, George. No worries.
And what's the dog's name?
Dollar.
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 Dollar. Just hug your wish for a wee while, Dollar. George, you'll be there to walk you shortly. I think the FIA are going to have to give them a dispensation to perhaps run remote services, but that in itself is a big, big issue. The teams have invested many millions of euros in their service park infrastructure. They want to use that service park for fans, for guests, for dignitaries, for VIPs. You know, it's not a popular thing to reintroduce remote servicing. There was a reason why the FIA took it out of the options and the regulations. But George, I think that is probably, if we're going to stay in Sweden, if we're going to keep the Värmlands regional funding, if we're going to keep the opportunity for the rally to make a reasonable amount of money from fans, we have to stay in Torsby and reintroduce remote servicing.
Or do we go completely the opposite way and say, essentially, the fans come if you can, but if not, then, you know, we'll have to live without you and we have to go far north somewhere. to put on a winter rally to show. You know, the same reason that you would go to the Middle East or somewhere, to show the backdrop, to show the nature of event.
Well, it's a snow rally. There has to be snow.
Exactly. So that's the point, Colin. So you've got to go as far north as possible. You go to the Arctic rally or somewhere like that. You know, that raises a whole different question of two rounds in Finland. But, you know, it's this complete trade-off between having spectators there or having the perfect roads. You can't... Yeah. For me, it's very difficult to have both.
Yeah. And you know what? At the end of the day... Fewer spectators will not suit Rally Sweden, but in some ways it suits rallying. You know, the more there's a real conundrum there. The more spectators, the more popular you get, the more issues potentially you've got in terms of crowd control, which, you know, historically hasn't been an issue in Sweden because you've got the snow banks and the snow runoff areas act like big airbags almost, don't they, when cars go off? They very rarely go more than 3 or 4 metres off the road. But there's all sorts of issues there. But let's talk, guys, about this year's Rally Sweden and the result, and Elvin Evans. Just a dominant drive from start to finish, led from the opening stage to the end of the rally. Never looked in any doubt, made one very, very small error, I think, on the Saturday. But other than that, he was imperious, David. And I think, I've said before that he's looking like a title contender, proven to be wrong. I think he is looking like a title contender. I think we've got four drivers who will contest this year's championship.
I personally, as much as I would love to buy into that, Colt, I think we've got to just stand back, just take a breath, and just wait for Mexico.
You told me this last time as well, and I didn't. I dived straight in, and I was proven wrong.
let's just wait for some gravel. You know, Mexico is a real case in point because, he goes to Mexico in the worst position possible. And now let's just see. You know, we've seen that he's got some speed, he's got the consistency, he's got the car, he's got a team around him, all of that. But let's see if he has the maturity to put a rally together in the style of a Sebastian Ogier or a Sebastian Loeb. Stop touching my knee.
I'm touching your knee because I want to interrupt, because I want to ask George. I think you're right. Let's see what he does. George, what would, as team boss, and you've been in this situation before, your Evans has had an incredible start to the year. Third place in Monte, a win in Sweden. But he goes to, obviously, Mexico, which we know is a difficult rally with all of the considerations about altitude. But he goes there first on the road. What would you be saying, George Donaldson, to Elvin Evans at the start of this rally? How would you manage your driver in that circumstance?
You're basically telling him to get on with it in a fairly straightforward manner. Don't panic when you see yourself losing time. And figure out just how you lose as little time as possible. Don't force yourself into a mistake. Okay, you're first on the road. The road's a little bit more slippery. Don't make a mistake on that slipperiness. Don't get a puncture. Don't hemorrhage a minute. You're only going to hemorrhage 5 or 10 seconds a stage. And at the end of the first day, it's going to spin. Hopefully, you'll have done enough that you're running fourth or fifth car on the road, or third or fourth car on the road, and you can actually then start to capitalize and pull that back for the last day. So I think you're just looking to them not to panic, take your time, get really, really tight, don't do anything flippant with your driving, but maybe select one or two stages where you feel that the cleaning's going to be less, and take your chances there, because there's always chances taken. So be very cautious about your chances and very, very, very surgical about where you take those opportunities.
I absolutely agree with everything you've just said, George. And I spoke to Elvin this morning after his test in Spain earlier this week. And that was exactly pretty much what he said. He said, you know, actually, I will play it as it lies, and I'm not going to think about it too much, not going to let it get into my head. And this is exactly what you talk to people like Robert Reed. You know, cleaning, as you know well, George, cleaning has always been there. You know, the difference now is that perhaps rallies are slightly shorter, so you have less time to make the time back. But Robert said, you know, you never got a Colin, a Tommy, a Petter, or, you know, a Richard that was constantly fretting. Of course, we know, you know, at places like New Zealand, Richard and Robert played the game perfectly. You were probably part of that game.
Big part of that. That was a good story. One for the future.
Is that story actually quite applicable now? I don't know.
No. Come on, because we got to talk about. There's a lot to talk about with Mexico. We've got a little story to tell.
But
at
I
the
like
end.
George's story.
George will have a story slot, and we're going to come up with a really catchy name for it.
So my point, my no, don't do that now.
Horrible George's
history. Stop singing.
No.
Moving on.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Luke, moving on, but actually coming back to it, you're dead right, George, and that's the frame of mind that Elvin is going there in. you know, he's just going to forget it. Get on with it. You can't change it.
Yeah. So we're saying he's not going to win, boys.
Unless it rains.
My money, unless it rains or it snows. That's happened before. On El Chocolate stage. So we're saying he's not going to win. And that I think, is a fairly safe bet unless circumstances play into his hands. So who is our money on? My money is very much on Tanak for this
Can
one.
Can I just jump in, Colin? Sorry.
Go on, Lisa.
I'm just thinking back to, was it Argentina about 3 years ago when he lost out to Thierry on that last stage?
Yes.
He lost the whole rally by less than a second, wasn't it?
Hitting a bridge. And cost him the rally.
Because every time I see Elvin, I still think of him as a young driver and, you know, learning. But that was 3 years ago. He has learned. He could be competing.
I think, for me, it's still a big push. It's a lot to ask of somebody who doesn't have a huge amount of experience of running in those conditions on the front of the field. That's where Ogier and Loeb got quicker, and Marcus Grönholm as well. You know, he was another master at it. But you have to put the time, and you have to lead the championship for a long time until you get into that. Because it is, you know, it's a mindset thing, isn't it, George? But it's also an ability to use the tyre less, or to take a softer tyre but make it work, soften the car a bit to give you more traction. It's the complete package.
It is that, and we're seeing Elfin quite clearly changing his approach this year. He's more thoughtful. He's applying all those years of experience, and he has had he's had some fairly poor results. He's ended up running first on the road. He knows what it's like, but he doesn't know what it's like to run first on the road when you've got a lot to lose. So there is a pressure there. So it's just that, as you said, you've talked to him this morning. That mindset, if he's strong on that, I'm sure that Tommy will give him exactly the same advice, but probably even wiser and much more clever than me. But all the same, it won't be terribly different. And you know, maybe he can do something wonderful. But wonderful to me would be to still manage to make the top three.
I think that'd be a dream result.
So do you want me to tell you who Elvin says is going to win Rally Mexico?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. So Elvin said. He said, read dirtfish.com next week.
Do you know, David, I was going to give a plug to your column when you told us that bit, and you read it in full.
Sorry.
And when you say next week, you mean, because obviously people could be listening to this at any time.
Yeah, when do I mean?
What date?
The day, what day? Yeah, early
March.
Sorry, that's
that was really poor, David Evans. Genuinely. So what we want to know then is who you think is going to win. I'll tell you first of all who I think is going to win. I think Tanak is going to win, even although he's got some history in that event of some big offs, some big crashes. I think Tanak is just beginning to find his feet in that team. I think he's put Monte Carlo well and truly behind him. Physically, he'll be a lot more prepared than he was for Sweden. We mustn't forget that he was physically not 100% in Sweden. He will be by the time he gets to Mexico. He'll have a great starting position. He will be very... If he doesn't make a mistake and the car doesn't let him down, and let's face it, we've seen a little bit of fragility from that Hyundai in Mexico before. Remember, Danny Sordo was leading at the end of day one and the car broke.
Yeah.
So the car has to work for him. By the way, an interesting fact, a Hyundai... nor a Toyota has ever won in Mexico. Is that something we need to bear in mind? But I do think that will be put right this time, and Tanak will win. Should we bear that in mind?
George, do you want to tell him he's wrong, or shall I?
Well, should we think of Thierry Neuville perhaps and Hyundai not winning? Colin,
he hasn't won in Mexico.
Thierry's won in Mexico.
Thierry's won in Mexico. What was the beer at the radio?
No, that was a podium finish.
Correct. That was the very first podium finish.
And in getting that podium, he robbed Elvin of his first podium. Yeah. Remember? Because Elvin was
so
really
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
It was as good as a win.
Listen, if I'm wrong, guys that are listening back home, do let us know.
No, I'm disappointed because I have to say, George, you're wrong as well. The only winner is going to be Sebastian Ogier. Although I have to say, actually, Tanak is probably in the best position on the road.
Where is he on the road, David?
Sixth
on the road. George, that makes a massive difference.
It can do. It can be a tenth of a second per kilometre per car, nominally. So that means over the first 10 cars, it can be a second a kilometre difference.
Wow.
It can be much more than that. And then just occasionally, there are drivers like Seb Ogier, Seb Loeb, Ott Tanak, Marcus Grönholm, that prove you wrong. And they, you know, I mean, even going back to Richard Burns, Colin McRae, Petter Solberg, they prove you wrong every now and again. A driver can pull out the hat. So is Elfyn going to be that man? I don't think he's got the depth of experience right now. I think he's got the ability, and I think he's getting it, and I think he will get there. Is he going to be able to exercise that in this event? Massive strength of character required to be able to push and live on that limit. I think he'd be foolish to do it in one way, but it's up to the driver and how they feel on the day. So let's go with it.
He's not going
to
win.
Okay, hang on.
Sure.
Let me clarify on my list here.
I'm with you, George.
So, George, you're going for Elfyn to win.
Elfyn to win, yeah.
Right, so I'll cross out Ogier, which you had yesterday.
don't mention yesterday.
Don't mention it. It was a rehearsal, Lisa, yesterday. A rehearsal.
David,
rehearsal.
Who are you changing to?
For the only person who's going to win is Sebastian Ogier.
Okay, you're staying as you were.
Yeah,
Colin?
I've made it very clear who I think is going to win. And if you want to give me your £10 now, then I'm quite happy to take it off all of you. Tanak will win, and he will win by a streak. I'm even going to give you a winning margin. Tanak is going to win by 34 seconds. Write it down.
I've written it down. I have to say, though, who said anything about £10
No, I just made that up because I'm so confident in my
That's a lot of money for you.
It's not real money. It never comes good on those things.
That's what
George!
I'm surprised by the amount.
It's a token, Colin. It's
George!
A token. It's a measurement. It could be £1 million. It's just a token of confidence. And £10 is a lot of money for you. That's a huge amount of confidence. I recognise it, Colin. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm going for Thierry Neuville.
Well, we've got everything covered then, haven't we?
There you go. Everyone's covered. Well, a certain number are covered. That's great.
Well, unless we do get a surprise. Sorry, at least unless we get a surprise and once again a Ford wins the rally. Remember, the rally has been dominated by Ford and Citroën over the years. Mm. So, you know, if we get a surprise, and it is not at all beyond the realms of possibility. If we're looking at one of the Ford drivers, for me, it has to be Lappi. You know, I know that we disagreed during our rehearsal on where Sunanen is. Sunanen, for me, is slightly in the wilderness. He needs to quickly find what's... He does, David. He needs to find what's missing. He's had a lot of time in that car, and he isn't giving us what we know he's capable of. Wait till I finish my point. He started with an absolute bang in Poland and Finland, and he looked as if he was the next superstar. It's gone backwards since then. If you tell me it hasn't gone backwards, then I want you to justify why it's not gone backwards.
It hasn't gone backwards. You know, you've picked out
two
events from 2 years. What was it, 2 years, 17, 18, whatever. You know, last year he showed Sardinia, great speed. You know, there's been so much speed at times with Sunanen. He has the ability. You know, we saw the change of co-driver come. That worked a treat. What happened?
What do you mean it worked a treat? It worked a treat for the first few stages, and we've not seen the results.
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. What happened to him in Sweden was, quite clearly, as was the case, as Rich Milner said, he had a scare. You know,
yeah,
and it
Tanak
was...
had a scare. Tanak had a much bigger scare.
Tanak's been in a world rally car for how many years more than
I'm not buying this. So, there's something that's not clicking there, and he needs to find that switch.
And he'll find it in Mexico. Okay. Guarantee it. 100%.
Okay. I'm losing interest, guys.
Sorry, George.
George, all I can say is Colin's wrong again, and I apologise.
I'm going to move this one on from Mexico, guys. Lisa,
From Mexico, one thing that I did notice on social media over the last few months was the departure of a pair of patent pink leather cowboy boots being dumped in a skip. And what I was quite surprised about, because he was so proud of those boots, they didn't look as though they had very much wear on them.
No, Lisa, you know, some things in life, you mustn't have regrets. Really, you mustn't. You know, you must just move on, accept decisions that you made are sometimes going to be right or sometimes going to be wrong. I have regrets about binning those cowboy boots. They were... George, were you there when I bought them? They were pink patent leather. They were beautiful. Leon is the leather capital of the Americas, really. And you can get just about anything, and I mean just about anything leather.
Careful.
In Leon. But I walked into the shop, and it was like an evangelical moment. They were on the shelf, and they almost jumped off of the shelf straight out at me and said, "Buy me."
But just let's be clear here, George, you were there and you let that happen.
Well, I wasn't there when he bought them, but I was there when he wore them the first night he bought them. He went to the rally party. He was so proud. And I was so embarrassed, I just walked away. I can't remember seeing him after that.
Thanks, George. George, you know what? I think that was the night that I saw you drinking for the first time. And that maybe explains why. But those boots I loved. I did wear them twice. I wore them once for a night out with Chris Meek and Paul Nagel in San Remo. And San Remo, you can get away with anything. Anything you can get away with. And I did wear them once in Stoke-on-Trent.
Yes, you did, Lisa.
Thanks very much. I wore them in Stoke-on-Trent once and I was lucky to survive.
But just while we're on the subject of things that you've bought that you've regretted,
yeah,
tell us about your new car, Cole.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, well, again, you know, when it comes to children, I've got a couple of kids and, you know, it's wonderful to see the world through the eyes of children because it is completely enlightening and it's something we could all learn from. But my kids looked at this car I was going to buy about a month or two ago and went, "Daddy, we're going nowhere near that. You will not be taking us to school in that." And it was beautiful. It was a Volvo 240 DL, George. Four gears, big engine, 22 miles to the gallon. It smelled of oil. It just, for me, it was just a dream car. Beautiful condition. 1600 quid and it was mine. Bargain of the century.
I think you should have spent that £1,600 on the car and you could have just put the pink boots into the back of that and driven the entire thing to the top rather than the boots.
To be honest, it was big enough, George, to live in. The car was big enough to live in. So anyway, so I didn't get the Volvo, but I stayed with the Swedish theme. And I bought myself a beautiful Saab 93 convertible, which
a swimming pool. Well done, Colin.
George, how do you know? You're miles away. But honestly, we've had torrential rain here for the last few weeks. And it looks like an aquarium in the back, to be totally honest with you. It is slopping wet. And anyway, it's a lovely car. I love it, David. What's wrong with it?
It's, well, yeah.
It doesn't smell, George. No.
It's damp. It's not damp.
It's not.
It never rains in Stoke-on-Trent, does it, Cole?
It's too wet to be damp by the sound of it.
But
nothing will stop you from having the roof down, will it?
Oh, nothing. You know, blizzards pouring with rain. You know, if you go fast enough, you can drive under the rain, right? Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
But anyway, there we go. Enough about my purchases.
Good for your vitamin D
my
levels to get plenty of sunshine on your skin.
Thanks, Lisa.
I'm
thanks,
a fan
Lisa.
Of a convertible myself.
But I have spent too long in drophead cabriolets with Colin Clark.
Oh, George, remember rally Germany.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Mini
Cooper S.
Yes,
Mini Cooper S.
Yes.
And it's awful. It's a nightmare. Right? Why have I even mentioned it? I'll not sleep tonight.
I think we were singing. I think we had the roof down, driving through the vineyards, singing songs from an ABBA medley or something like that. It was magnificently gay, and I loved every second of it. There's nothing wrong with that.
But I just like to ask, what did Andrew Kellett, and for those, he also joined you in a soft top, didn't he?
He did.
Andrew, I would have to say, is the most practical person I think I know. He is, of course, the coordinator of Rally GB, the brains behind Britain's Round of the World Rally Championship. Not naturally a man that you put in a soft top.
No, but it was a really nice soft top. I got a great deal on Sardinia for a Fiat 124 drop top. Is that what they call them?
I don't know.
124.
Drop.
Yeah, got a Fiat 124. Andrew Kellett came out with me for 3 days. He only lasted 2 days, unfortunately. It was all a little
bit
too much.
We've all been there, Andrew.
The buffeting of the hair and all the rest was too much for him. But it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I have a history of convertibles. I love them. You know, I remember in Spain a few years ago, I had a little Fiat 500.
This is all very interesting, but shall we move on from your car?
I was going to say, I've got a smart car, and it is a drop top, and it is so wet in the UK at the moment that the black canopy has turned green with moss. But so many questions we are raising here. If you do want to get in touch, we'll give you a hashtag. There'll be a little stab to tell you how to get in touch with the podcast. But you guys have got questions for each other, haven't you?
Well, no, I mean, I have one thing I want to bring up that's actually appeared since two very quick questions and what we think.
One question for George. Hint.
Okay, question for George. I want to ask George, coronavirus, George. You know, we've seen an event this morning.
What?
Yes, we've seen an event cancelled in
what we
Italy.
Agreed.
No, it's not what we agreed, but it's relevant and it's topical. And that's when we've
got to try. So it's now Dr. George.
Yeah, ask Dr. George. Coronavirus, George. How do the teams cope with this? You know, and the uncertainty surrounding the fact that, you know, we've had an event cancelled in Italy. There are events being cancelled, other types of events being cancelled around the world. Is it something the teams have to bear in mind when planning?
Of course it is, Colin. It'll be forced upon us. Circumstances will force it upon us. I think it's almost inevitable, sadly.
It is, I'm sure, inevitable. One question for you, David. I don't want an answer from you about that one, David. I want to ask you about Rally Estonia, David. Some really, really disappointing news this morning. And yeah. I don't know whether it's final news. It sounds as if it could be. Rally Estonia, there seems to have been a bit of conflict with their local federation, the Estonian Motorsport Federation.
Yeah.
They couldn't agree on the distribution of profits. Therefore, what do we do? Rather than sitting around the table and sorting it out and coming up with an agreement that keeps everyone happy, let's cancel the event.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, we're not privy to the inner workings of the deal or anything like that, Cole. But what we do know is that Estonia is cancelled, and that is a huge tragedy. You know,
it
for Oyk Tanak and the thousands or hundreds of thousands of Oyk Tanak fans out there who had the most amazing opportunity to go to Estonia in late July and watch their hero compete. And it was, and it is, a great event. You know, Urmo Aava is unbelievably good at organising that rally. But the simple fact is, there is investment from the Estonian government to run the event. As far as I can understand, the government treat it as a startup, a small business, if you like. And the revenue, the profit, the whatever, has to go back to the government. That's the nature of the deal. You know, whether you're starting a rally or selling bananas or whatever, that's the way it works. And as far as I can understand, the Estonian Auto Union has said, we would like some of that profit to reinvest into the sport, understandably, again. But it's not the nature of the deal for Rally Estonia. And the unfortunate byproduct of this inability to find any common ground is the loss of one of the best rallies in Europe.
Yeah, real shame. Real shame. Yeah, but I'm sure there's more to come with that one, David. And you've been right on top of that.
I don't see how it can be. You know, simply that they've announced today that it's cancelled. Right. That's right, isn't it, George? I mean, you can't stop an event and then start it again in a couple of weeks.
Very difficult indeed, David. And I mean, it sounds like, unfortunately, petulance has taken the lead over common sense and a joined up approach. It's very, very sad.
Yes,
it is. There we go.
But at the most important question.
Go on.
George.
What? Oh, yes, George. George, sorry. Yeah, George, this is our little look back in history slot, which we're going to come up with a really nice little jingle. I'm going to sing the theme tune for
it. No, don't do
Reece.
That.
But while we're putting the podcast together, we haven't quite got our jingle yet. George, there is a story about Didier Auriol from the past, and you can fill us in on what the rally was and where it was and when it was. But there is a story that Auriol pulled out of a rally to go and buy a house that he'd spotted on the recce. Josh, tell us about that. It sounds so ridiculous, but it's true, isn't it?
Well, it was said, Colin, and it was said in jest, and it was said by me in jest as team manager of Toyota to a rather gullible and unsuspecting TV crew who were expecting a serious answer to a difficult question. So we just retired our World Rally car out of its second event. And it was we were only meant to be running one car. We had actually started two, and one basically went off on the first stage and then was retired by our boss, Uwe Andersson. He didn't want to run it into the second day, despite our best efforts to persuade him otherwise.
George, which event was that?
Did he? This was Indonesia in 1997. Right. So September, I don't know, August, September event, something like that. So Didi started off on the second day. He wasn't that happy with the car on various things. We had some form of transmission failure, as I recall, which was rather unusual because it was a well-proven transmission. Can't quite remember what the reason for his retirement was. He stopped in a stage, got on the radio, told us he'd retired. TV crew caught up with us. My boss didn't want to speak to them. George, you go and tell them whatever you want to. I walked down there a little bit pissed off. The TV crew, the BBC TV crew, saying, you know, they got into the not a great event for you, George. No, it's not been stunning. Why has Didier stopped us? Well, he spotted a house during the recce up on the hill in Old Estate House. You know, this was a former Dutch colony, and apparently it's a beautiful house. And the car wasn't going that well. He quite clearly, you know, it wasn't going to go much further, he felt. So nothing to be gained from continuing. So he's away buying that house now, and we'll pick up the car later. And he then led the presenter. When he went into the next question before I burst out laughing, basically. So I can't remember. I think it might have gone out, actually. It was the BBC. They put a recorded programme out a week later worldwide, on BBC Worldwide. So it was a huge audience we had at the time. I've got a feeling that actually went out as a quote.
It must have done, George, because it's entered.
Don't recall getting into trouble for it, though.
But there's so many other things you were probably getting into trouble for, George.
I was always in trouble.
Isn't it wonderful the way that that story has now entered rallying folklore, and it's accepted as being absolute fact. And well done you for putting us right after. Do you know that was 23 years. 23 years ago. Wow. Sometime.
I was barely out of nappies.
I remember it like it was yesterday. It was quite good fun.
I have to say, we're kind of running out of time on the podcast as well. Any final thoughts that we need to mention before we come back and do it all again?
No, I just want to say it's been a lot of fun. It's been lovely getting the old team back together, Lisa and George, and nice to have David here too.
Yeah, for a second day in succession. Sorry.
Don't mention the rehearsal, David.
Can I ask one last question? I was wanting to know why does Colin keep touching you, David, and why does it annoy you so much?
George, you've got...
I'm sure someone else is asking that question.
You've got no idea how much I ask myself that question all the time. He's a very tactile person.
George,
he's very expressive.
I'm thinking back to Cabriolets in Germany. Yes, he's very tactile.
And Pink Boots in Mexico. Yeah,
if it was
indeed.
You, George, if it was Lisa, if it was anyone, it's just the... Sometimes, you know, George, your enthusiasm takes over and your hands start talking and you do occasionally slap the odd thigh or slap the odd knee. It's all done in innocence, I have to say.
It's just affection, and that's fine.
I will be sending a memo to dirtfish.com's HR department shortly, obviously.
Please, could you draw up some guidelines for me? Yeah. Yes. Well, if you have enjoyed this inaugural edition of the... I'm not happy with the name. I do like the fact we're calling it Spinning a Line, but the rally pod from Dirtfish on the end is a bit long, so we're going to have to work out a decent hashtag for this, guys. We're going to work out a nickname. But thank you for tuning in. You found us now. If you subscribe, you'll get the next episode straight into your inbox once it's been edited. And we'll be here to talk all things Mexico and look around the rest of the world of rallying, because we're going to be your first stop shop for all things rally.
We did actually, just before we go, Lise, we've got to say that we did have a little bit of a drama with Colin and I trying to remember exactly what we were going to call.
I think you'll find that I've got that all set to play in a big lump.
I think you will find, David, that Lisa's wrap-up was perfect, and what you said and what we are currently saying will not appear in the podcast. So I'm quite confident. I know Lisa's touch with the editing knife is fairly ruthless.
But what I want to say... Sure, you can all imagine that debate went on for rather a long time. But you know, David, he does like to keep things simple, whereas George, well, he just lobbed in the odd hand grenade and then just sat back and enjoyed the argument. Poor old Lisa, well, she was playing referee, and eventually we did come up with, what can I call it, consensus. Yes, it probably was consensus. For all the latest news and views, and maybe a little bit of gossip there as well. Every 2 weeks you will get Spin the Rally Pod by Dirtfish. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels. Don't forget to keep an eye on dirtfish.com. Looking forward to seeing you again.